Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB and Hollywood and Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. What can be changed about the technocratic medical class? You know, Fauci's still in the news. That's proper and good, and he should be. And we're going to address a little bit more about him today in the cleanup item. And I've been talking about these 17 million deaths from the shots. I'll share with you a group that's done that analysis, and we'll get to a lot of that. But what can be changed? Well, let's start with the foundation of God's Word. Should we? So God's word is always good for teaching, rebuke, and correction. Let's go back to the time when Moses was leading the Hebrew people, Jewish people, and he was doing it alone. And he accepted wise counsel from an elder, his father-in-law, who said to Moses, "You're trying to do too much." And so there was created in inspiration through God, or it wouldn't appear in the Bible, God's inspired word, a system of governance that separated some responsibilities. So you had the Levitical priests were given responsibilities. You had prophets and their responsibilities. Eventually, you had the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and their responsibilities. And of course, because they are human beings, they twisted those responsibilities. There were some terrible Levitical priests who took bribes to let people into the temple, and there were Levitical priests who abused that position to have sexual favors for women. That's human brokenness. But what the inspiration there was to split up the powers so that it was more efficient, and Moses wasn't sitting there all day judging the people, and also so Moses could provide direction, but also so that there wasn't one person in control. One human being. God needed to be in control. Because at that point, Moses was king. He was the judge. He was the jury. He was the executioner. He was the prosecutor, defense attorney. He was God to many people. Moses was God to some people. Just like later on, the Apostle Paul complained that there were people who said, I'm baptized in Apollos, or I'm baptized in Peter, or I'm baptized in Paul. And he would say, "God forbid. I did not go to the cross. Jesus didn't die to make me a God. He was and is God Almighty." So people have this temptation to want to turn people into gods. And people have a temptation to be treated like gods. So with that as inspiration, what can change? Number one, Congress can take back its power from the administrative states in regard to the FDA and the CDC this way. Have meetings with them every 30 days, have their executives come in and testify, and actually review the regulations that the CDC and the FDA are creating. Because if Congress doesn't do that, these unelected bureaucrats can create rules that then become law. Never having gone through the Congress of the United States of America, and they can create their own funding. The FDA gets 40% of its money from pharmaceutical companies. That's money they use to pay their employees and themselves to have their outrageous pensions that no one in the real world gets. Their outrageous pay scales, they take home 3 to 4 times the amount of money the average American earns. Their paid vacations, their travel. So that's an instance. They made a law. We create our own funding from pharmaceutical companies that we then pretend to regulate. But it goes further than that. FDA scientists, as I've said many, many times, get to take a rake. That's a gambling term. The house takes a rake of the money, a percentage of the money of the wins. They get to take a percentage of money from co-inventing stuff with private companies. You know how I learned about this? There was a portion of the FDA, and their job was to put cheese in everything. Hide it. So it was FDA scientists who invented a lot of the junk food people eat. For instance, there was a taco shell made completely of cheese. Well, cheese, euphemistically cheese. Vegetable protein garbage that's harmful for the body, and seed oils and stuff made it taste like cheese. And some of it actually was cheese. You know, and there's nothing wrong with eating some cheese, but when you don't know you're eating 2,000 calories of cheese, that's a bad idea. They invented that. They invented the injection of cheese into pizza crusts. And the so-called scientists at the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, get to take a percentage of the profits. That's a problem. Because the Food and Drug Administration is also the authority that regulates foods and drugs. That's a problem. Congress can do away with that. You don't get to do that. They can go further. In the real world, key employees can be made to sign non-compete agreements. Now, in some states, those are no longer enforceable, or they're very hard to enforce. You have to be someone who's involved in secrets, trade secrets that could cripple the company if they got found out in some states like Washington. But we could have non-compete agreements. Choose your lane. Are you going to work in regulation or industry? If you choose to work in regulation, you need to take a 3-year cooling off period before you can advise, sit on the board of a private company in the realm in which you regulated, or work for any agency that allows you to do any work with any companies like that at all. That would solve part of the revolving door problem. That can be fixed. The FDA often allows pharmaceutical companies to do their own research. So sometimes drug companies will choose to do all the research in Brazil or South America. Why? Why not do it in the States? It's cheaper. You don't have to fly back and forth because it's looser. They can pay for the results they want. That should never happen. If you are the Food and Drug Administration, you do the tests. They produce the product. You do the testing. Congress can make that change. When taxpayer dollars are involved in testing a product, all of the tests should be open source. when we're talking about safety testing for a product that's going to be put upon the American people, particularly something that they're going to try to force us to take, I won't be forced to take anything. I'm a no. I have no problem with that on the Romans 13 basis. I've seen too many lies. Any researcher should be allowed to live time go observe the testing. Why is it secret? Why do we have to beg our betters with Freedom of Information Act requests to see the results of the test? There are employees spending our money to review products that are going to come into our world, be put into the bodies of us and our kids. Why should we have to beg to see the paperwork? We shouldn't. On a day-by-day basis, the results of those tests should be put up into a cloud server that anyone and everyone can go look at. And you're going to find some things out. There's going to be people who spot stuff and spot emergency signals or warning signals. This happened during COVID. And the rollout of the mRNA poisons. There were researchers, scientists, certified scientists with peer-reviewed papers, serious people who saw safety signals, and they were writing to the FDA and the CDC saying, hey, you guys, this stuff is really bad. We're seeing some horrible safety signals. You need to do something. They were ignored. It'd be harder to ignore them when all this stuff is open source. Congress can make that happen. On the side of the, we were talking about the FDA, on the side of the of the Center for Disease Control, their scientists also get to share in the profits. And this is based upon the patent portfolios of companies they pretend to regulate or work with. Well, they do work with, they don't regulate them. So in the run-up to the COVID PSYOP, there were people who had already patented the approaches before COVID was ever announced to the public. They'd patented the process of creating the spike protein facsimiles in the bodies. They'd patented the process of using the mRNA platforms for that. They intended to monetize that. And Fauci and his cohorts and fellow mobsters got to take a percentage of that stuff. They don't have to tell us how much money. Congress can do away with that. Congress can go back and pass a law. No scientist at the CDC will receive any money from any private company for any scientific research. We can also strip them of board positions. Fauci put himself or allowed himself to be put on the board, accepted a board seat from a pharmaceutical startup working in the mRNA realm, which was then sold for multiple millions of dollars, many multiples. And Fauci had founder stock, which is sometimes called penny stock. Because as a founder, you get it in at the very, very beginning. Tony Fauci and people like him should not be allowed to sit on boards of companies, not while they're working at the CDC. And in my opinion, they need to choose a lane. For every year you work in government, it's 3 years you can't work for private companies. Choose your lane. Well, then we won't get the best and the brightest. They'll just go work in private companies. No, you'll get a different form of human being. You'll get someone who looks at a government job of $340,000 a year, or in the case of Fauci, nearly $500,000, and say, you know, that's fine. I can live on that. Furthermore, I'm interested in being a public servant. You'll get people like that. Definitely a different mindset than Fauci, who looked at this as an opportunity to get incredibly rich. Congress can affect that change. And they should affect that change. On the topic of Fauci and his diary and the public records, at one point Fauci had told one of his employees to destroy public records, which is a felony. The person who did it committed a felony. Fauci committed a felony by telling him to do it. Every public record should be public. We should never have to ask to look at Tony Fauci's emails. unless it involves national security in imminent danger or an investigation, an active criminal investigation, we should be able to read every email of every senator's staffer, House member, every CDC employee, every FDA employee. It should all be stored on a cloud server. And if you feel like it, you should be able to go search Tony's name and look at all the emails Tony sent that day. Why wouldn't we? They work for us. Congress can make that happen. Now, Congress won't because they don't want that to happen. They all have their secret email accounts. That should also be a felony. And it is if you're purposely avoiding FOIA, which is why one of Fauci's colleagues has actually been brought up on charges for this. There's a lot that could change, and it goes back to the wisdom of God. Make it hard for people to act like gods. Split the powers up so we remember who's really in charge. God Almighty. We'll come back under Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling in a personal note next hour. Right now, man, we're going to get subversive in the most Jesus-centric way. We're going to be subversives and dangerous people spreading the word. That's what we do here anyway. You know, we're to be in the world and not of it. Tim Todd joins me with Truth for Youth. This is one of my favorite periods of the year because I love what you do and how you do it. Welcome back, Tim. Good to have you on the show.
Good to be on the program with you, Todd.
Did you know you're a subversive?
Yes, I know.
You're a subversive for Jesus, bro.
I know. Yes, and I wear that label proudly.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, my wife and I went through a period here recently where we'd never taken time to memorize the Beatitudes. And one of Jesus' most loved portions of sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, and that phrase, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake." Our world's persecuting Christians, and you're standing in the face of this, and you're getting Bibles to young people, but you do it in a smart way. And people would say, "How you can't Bibles in government schools? That's subversive." How do you subvert that, Tim?
Well, you know, and I know, and a lot of people don't realize that it is legal for young people to give Bibles away on their school campus during non-instructional time. And as a result of our nation kicking God out of our schools in 1962 and 1963 with Abington v. Shem and Engle v. Vitale, and removed God from our schools. As a result of that, the devil has moved in. And so, seriously, what we need to do is we need to get the Word of God back in school and kick the devil out of our schools and shine the light of the gospel. So, we're just thankful that with the Truth for Youth Bible, we've been able to give away way over a million Bibles in the past 26 years through the National Truth for Youth Bible Week on American Family Radio. And we give the Bibles to teenagers that commit to give them to their friends in school that don't know the Lord. And I like to call it legally smuggling Bibles into America's public schools.
Wait, so now we're talking to Tim Todd, subversive smuggler. I have a friend of mine who is in a ministry where he helps people recover from addiction and all forms of addiction. And you ask Cameron, what do you do? And he'll say, I teach people to live. And I can now introduce my friend Tim Todd and say, he's a subversive smuggler. Make your mama proud.
Yes, yes.
What's your son do? Hey, have you had school districts ever try to stop this?
You know, and I'm sure you know him, Todd, but a close friend of mine, Matt Staver, Liberty Council, he's the one that put the students' legal rights on public school campus on the back cover of the Truth for Youth Bible, so that our young people know that they have the right to give Bibles away, so that whenever a teacher or an administrator tries to challenge the young people, then they know as well. And so, in fact, real quickly, I had a young person give a Bible away in school, and the teacher took that young person to the principal's office. This is in the Houston area, I should say. And the principal sat down and told that young person, you can't give Bibles away in school, and just really got on to him, scolded them for giving a Bible away. And so that student very respectfully listened, and then they showed the principal the back of the Truth for Youth Bible, and that, which clearly says they have the right to do this. And the principal said, "Well, if it's legal for you to do it, I guess I won't stop you. You can go ahead and give that Bible to that young person." Mm. And that student said, "Well, I think you need it a whole lot worse than they do." gave that Truth for Youth Bible to the principal of the school. So I don't recommend that type of activity. But once the Bible is in the hands of these Christian young people, what they do is they give it to their friends in school. And certainly you're going to have people challenge it because of the politically correct, the liberal news media, the crooked politicians that stand up in opposition to having the Word of God in school. And so it comes with the territory, my friend, as you well know.
Yes, it does. And, you know, we are to rejoice when we're persecuted for the sake of Jesus, and because our rewards are great in heaven, because they persecuted the prophets in the same way. We need your help. You could become an enabler of subversive smuggling, legal subversive smuggling of the Word of God into the government schools. And Tim, how do people jump in and help, and what do you want them to do?
Yes, and of course, just for clarity, the Truth for Youth Bible, it consists of the whole New Testament in the God's Word translation. It's in paragraph form, Todd, so it makes it real easy to read. And then we've got 100 pages of comic stories, graphic novels that deal with the truth about issues of moral concern that young people are up against. And I mean, we deal with the hard-hitting issues and things like drugs and drunkenness, peer pressure and sexual purity, pornography, cutting, sexting, bullying, suicide. We deal with the truth about what the Bible says about homosexuality. You know, and I know God loves the homosexual, and he hates the sin of homosexual perversion. So we let our young people know the truth about these things. Transgender ideology. We deal with the truth about evolution. We taught our young people that they evolved from apes. Now many of them have begun to behave like apes. They need to know that they were made in the image of God. So if they go, so here's what we're doing. 100 pages of the graphic novels in the front, and then the whole New Testament. Students' legal rights on the back cover. It is a phenomenal tool. And I will give this Bible to every teenager who will commit to give it to their friends in school that don't know Jesus. So we're making soul winners out of the young people that are Christians, the young people that get the Bibles. We put the plan of salvation in each story so that not only do they have the truth about these issues, but they also find out how to give their life to Jesus Christ. Mm. So we're making disciples of these young people that they're giving their life to the Lord, and we're getting the Word of God in school. So here's what they do. They can either call 800-733-4737, 800-733-4737, between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time, or they can go to tfy.org, tfy.org, and fill out the submission form, and we will get the Truth for Youth Bibles to them, and help us smuggle Bibles into the hands of young people and introduce them to Jesus Christ.
I got to get some of these because, you know, Tim, I am I've been gifted to spend time around young guys in the youth ministry at our church, and just got back from summer camp and finally recovered from the 3 hours of sleep for 5 days in a row.
Awesome.
Oh, I love it. Oh, and God was working. Tim, you'd have been so overjoyed to see the number of young people who made decisions for Christ. And then I'm seeing young people found their marriages at the ages of 21 and 22 on Christ Jesus and entering in and designing their home from the ground up to serve the Lord. It's just so phenomenal. So I need to get some of these and show them to my guys. We are very familiar with sexual sin, adultery with opposite sex attracted people, fornication, same sex activity. You mentioned that the Truth for Youth Bible also approaches the issue of cutting. And that's a misunderstood thing that kids will do because it's actually biologically effective. It distracts people from the mental pain, but man, it makes you sick and infections and can harm you and ends up looking ugly. But how do you approach this based upon the Word of God?
You know, actually, we have, and I'm looking at the comic right now on cutting, and it, yeah. You know, what we do from a biblical perspective, we let the young people know that, you know, that they are, you know, they're made in the image of Christ. And yes. a lot of this has to do, Todd, as you know, with identity.
Yes.
And Jesus said, who are my mother and my brother? Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. And our young people, many of them they get confused, they get depressed, and they open themselves up to demonic activity.
Yes.
And of course, you know, this is not a new thing. Cutting is not a new thing. Goodness, they were doing this in the Old Testament.
Yes.
And you remember in 1 Kings chapter 18, it says they cut themselves with knives and lancets in 1 Kings 18, verses 20 through 39. And so this is something that has been around for a very long time. Mm. And it is just a demonic attack that young people open themselves up to. And what they need to know is they need to learn their identity in Christ. And so what happens is, you know, I don't want, and this is really with all of the subjects that are in the Truth for Youth Bible, in the graphic novels, I don't want these young people to be delivered from these things and then find Jesus. I want them to find Jesus, and then the Lord will help them be delivered from these things. And that's what it is. It's all about having their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, and because really that's the only hope that our young people have is for them to find Jesus. And when they do, that is the approach that we have with cutting, as well as all of the stories that are in these graphic novels. But I'm looking at this story right here already. It's titled "Enough!" exclamation mark. And so, and we deal for six pages, hard hitting, we deal directly with the subject of cutting. And so, you know, from a biblical perspective, these young people need to know what their identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they find Jesus, then the Lord will help to set them free from this this bondage that has many young people in.
Praise God. Guys, go to tfy.org, Truth for Youth, tfy.org. And Tim says he's going to, and I know he does this, he always fulfills this, every teenager who pledges to give these Bibles to friends is going to get the number of copies they need. tfy.org, you can call 800-733-4737. If you're listening live, do that now. The hours on that phone number where that's staffed are 8 a.m. to 4:30 Central. So if you're listening on podcast later, just do the website, tfy.org. And there's going to be a young person who needs to hear any of these issues. The cutting, the same-sex activity, lying. I mean, all the things that Satan's brought into the schools. If you're frustrated by what you see the government schools have become, help us subversively, legally smuggle God's word into our God's word never returns void. And Tim, we've got about 3.5 minutes left, and I know you have, this has borne fruit. This is not something, God's word doesn't return void. So talk to us about what you have seen as the Lord Jesus enters the lives of these young people and the fruit that this Truth for Youth campaign has brought.
Yes, Todd, 25 years ago when we started the project with American Family Radio, there was a a coach of a football team in Purvis, Mississippi. He heard the broadcast, and he said, wow. He said, I've got just the student that is on my football team that needs a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible. And so this coach ordered one to give to this this troubled teenager involved in alcohol and marijuana, different things. And he interrupted the coach interrupted the science class and brought this Bible in to this teenager and put it on his desk and said, you need to read this. And so that coach or that young person later in the day read through the comics. He gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got called into the ministry. And now, Todd, 25 years later, this young man is my pastor in West Monroe, Louisiana. Is that crazy?
Yeah. He's your pastor now.
He's my pastor now. And so and he's been our pastor for about 5 years. And you know, he's bringing in a harvest of souls. And so it all started with one bold coach that got one Truth for Youth Bible, gave it to one troubled teenager. And as a result of it, not only did he give his life to Jesus, but that teenager was called to the ministry. Now, 25 years later, he's been my pastor for a little over 5 years, and he's bringing in a harvest of souls. We've received more than 30,000 decision cards from young people that have been saved for the first time, Todd, as a result of getting a copy of the Truth for Youth Bible.
You guys, this is our privilege to be able to be involved in this, to make disciples who make disciples. The website is tfy.org. Couldn't be easier to plug in, tfy.org. Tim will provide a Bible to every teenager who promises to give it to a teen friend. You can also phone right now if you're listening live. Do it now, 800-733-4737. And if you're listening later, you can use that between 8 a.m. and 4:30 Central. Tim, I always enjoy our conversations because you seem unflappable to me, and this is something that God planted in your heart, and we've got like 45 seconds left to go here, Tim. When did God come to you and say, this is the burden I'm putting on you, and this is the privilege of how you get to work with me?
I was giving Bibles away in Russia as textbooks in the public schools of Russia in 91, and they asked me, the Minister of Education over all of the schools in Russia said, what kind of a Bible project do you have for the young people in America's public schools? And I had to tell him, Russia put God in school, but America kicked God out, came home with a burden on my heart that if the young people in Russia can have Bibles, that the young people in America's schools should have the same right to. And from that, delivered a million signatures to Newt Gingrich when he was the Speaker of the House in 95 during the Religious Freedoms Act vote. And then from that, the Truth for Youth Bible was born. And so millions of Bibles later, we're bringing in a harvest of young people.
Praise God Almighty. TFY.org, 800-733-4737. Go with God's good grace, Tim. God bless you for what you're doing, and we'll come back on A Disciple's View.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Trek 26-112. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the tire babbling and a personal note here in just a moment. There's a ton of questions people are asking about why the big change in Fauci. Well, we talked about this on Thursday. Why did he suddenly lawyer up when he'd been out there pretending that he would gladly appear before any committee and answer any questions? I mean, he said this more than once. He said it a couple times. This is 2022.
Well, if I become a punching bag, I'm a punching bag. But I am very happy to testify before any congressional oversight committee. I have nothing to hide. I can explain and validate everything that I've done. So
that was him on CNN in 2022. That wasn't the only time he said that. He said it's when he was stepping down from his job as the highest paid government employee in history. And that's just the official numbers. That doesn't count the money that he was able to get his grubby thieving hands on when he was taking percentages of revenue from patents and from pharmaceutical companies and from awards that he effectively blackmailed people into nominating him for, and he won some of those. And that's just the stuff we know about. This was Fauci being recognized as a great public servant for 50 years and giggling his way through the press conference here.
All right.
The answer is, if there are oversight hearings, I absolutely will cooperate fully and testify before the Congress have asked. You may not know, but I've testified before the Congress a few hundred times, okay?
Over the a few hundred times. What changed? I said as much on Thursday of last week. What changed was the diary and the evidence that he himself provided that he knew he was lying through the entire affair. I think something else changed. I think that a lot of people who are very powerful and would have no problem, I mean this, no problem having him killed, looked at that diary and said, "You idiot. You wrote that down on government servers. You idiot. You told us you were careful." And guys, I know for a fact in D.C., there are meetings you have where there's no phones, there's no contact, there's no follow-up. There was a power couple in D.C., two lawyers. They also have footprints in media. They invited me to their house for dinner. Out of curiosity, I went. They told me how they could help me take down a Democrat in Maryland. And here's how fanatical they were. I simply called them afterwards to say, thank you for dinner. And maybe we can get together again soon. That lady sent a note to the office via courier. Not signed. It said, "We said no fingerprints. Don't contact us again." That's how careful people are. And that was just taking out a member of Congress electorally, not killing them. I think the people who protect the mobbed up entities that are Pfizer is a criminal cartel. They kill people. I think the criminal cartel got in touch and said, Tony, you're not careful enough. Or maybe something else changed. There's a summit and it has questionable legal authority. It's a,
It's full on scientists and medical lawyers and medical ethicists and doctors and researchers. I mean, they're real for real people. Can they get anything done? They're one of the groups and just one of the groups that have looked into the number of deaths caused by these injections that Tony Fauci pushed and, in my opinion, probably profited wildly from.
The COVID-19 mRNA genetic injections have killed
17 million people.
Yep. Absolutely stunning. Can you please tell us more about the paper?
That's the global number. We studied many countries in Latin America and in the equatorial region, so we have a representative sample of the world, we believe. Many injections, it's 10% of the world population, 9% of injections, or the other way around. So the number we extract from our analysis allows us, we calculate the toxicity of the vaccine for all ages, and the number allows us, given the number of doses that have been given worldwide, to conclude that 17 million people would have been killed by this vaccine. And having it by time, like by week or by month, and by age group, means that you can actually see when there's a rollout of a booster, for example, which happens very quickly in time for a given age group, you can actually see immediately following it a maximum in the all-cause mortality. So an excess mortality actual peak that's temporally associated with that rollout. And we see that repeatedly for each rollout.
Consistently across all countries?
All the countries that have sufficient data where you're able to look at it and you have both the vaccine data and the mortality data, this is what we see.
There are many countries that have government-run socialized medicine, and crazy thing, they keep tons of records. There's a gentleman I know who was a naval intelligence officer, and he operates anonymously online, calls himself Ethical Skeptic. I've interviewed him. He runs numbers, crunches numbers for world, for governments, for huge companies. He's a risk analyst. He's an incredible mathematician. He came to the same conclusion by crunching numbers around the world. Steve Hirsch has come to a similar conclusion. He funded papers that looked at autopsies. Peter McCullough, the McCullough Foundation, studied autopsy reports, government reports, death reports, excess deaths, and they've come up to the same number. There's three or four groups who agree that these shots have killed 17 million people. Is that why Fauci suddenly lawyered up? No, because that's been known for a long time. My operating theory is that he got a whisper in the ear from an enforcer from Pfizer or Moderna or from the intel community or from the DOD. You're not speaking a word. You speak a word, you're going to have a car accident. And those things do happen. We need to remember the sin problems we're dealing with. We need to remember we know about human kings in the Bible who had their own brothers killed to maintain power. Let's remember that. God warned us about all in human power and what they would do. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called the Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war.
It's not three sound bites today. Nope, it's actually four starting here. CNN decided to play a little bit of a distraction game to take focus off of Tony Fauci and onto what?
So where's the accountability for the screw worm? Where's the accountability for all these recalls we see every single day and the lack thereof from the current leaders of our government? But you want to focus on someone who's no longer in the government. Remind me who was in charge when we were going through the COVID-19 pandemic, because I think sometimes that gets lost in the conversation. Who was the president?
Apparently Anthony Fauci thought he was.
Look, a screw worm. I'm capable of having on my mind two topics at once. A screw worm can turn into a big deal. And I'm also able to carry in my mind the topic of, can we ever get justice on this earth against Fauci? Because I know God's going to bring it. Working our way through the four, not three soundbites today. Soundbite number two, Dick Blumenthal, lying about what happened to Tony Fauci's lawyer.
His attorney has been gagged, thrown out of this hearing room. They should certainly be addressed, but not in a show trial.
So he was neither gagged nor thrown. He was told to leave, and security helped him make the decision to leave, and they never laid hands on him, and he wasn't gagged. And you lied about your service in Vietnam, Dick. Third soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, James Carville, Democrat strategist, and potty mouth. I don't think he potty mouthed in this one. He's talking about Fauci.
This was basically an honest guy trying to deal with a once-in-a-millennium public health issue who did, by the way, there is no evidence that he tried to make any money off of it.
But there is. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. CBS decided to defend the Fauci.
Now, as the pandemic went on, Fauci was vilified by many, including President Trump, who argued that his COVID policies were too strict, especially when it came to masking and school closures. Now, President Biden had issued a preemptive blanket pardon for Fauci out of concern that he would be prosecuted by the Trump administration. Vlad?
All right, Caitlin, thank you very much.
But what happened? What did Fauci do? He did all those things. What was the outcome? Disaster. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
On a personal note, my wife and I said goodbye to our daughter. She's alive and well, praise God. But she's leaving the States. Well, the continental United States. She's leaving the States for about at least 9 months. And, you know, this happens. You're probably saying, welcome to being an older parent. Yep. Yep. There's something about, though, that distance. You know, I used to play the role of super dad. And God had to really wake me up to the fact that, hey, buddy, you have no control. You better let me be the parent. You better be the steward. You be dad, I'll be father. He really had to wake me up to that. And there's also something to distance that can cause the heart to grow fonder sometimes. I've committed myself to writing consistently to my daughter. And I've done that before when you know, she had to be in treatment for some time, which is so long ago and so different, such a different time. God's done so much in her life. It's comical how long ago that was. I wrote to her every day, sometimes multiple times a day. And when we were cleaning out her room together, turns out she printed out every letter, every email, still had them, still possessed them. And my wife had said to my daughter, you know, Dad is really going to miss you. And we are both, but he really misses spending time with you. And you know what my daughter said? She said, I hope he'll start writing to me again. I really like that. So I will. But there's something about distance. And I remember this time when we lived in Seattle. My wife had gone down to Utah, bit of a family kind of crisis down there. She took my daughter, my wife's family's from Utah. And I wasn't able to go, and I was at work, not able to go. And I was home. It was on a weekend, and I was doing a workout in our driveway. We had a big driveway, very private. So I was riding my assault bike and doing some Olympic lifting and doing a couplet, ride the bike, do the lifts. I was really banging out the workout, really felt good about what I was doing. And something told me to stop and look at your phone. And I stopped and I picked up my phone. Boom. It rang. And it was my daughter calling. I mean, she hadn't yet called. Look at your phone. Boom. My daughter's on the phone. Picked up. And she's really having a tough time down there. Been a while since she'd seen the cousins and kind of just having trouble reintegrating and just needed to talk to dad. So I wonder if I were to write in these notes. I think I will. I think I'll tell her that story. That, you know, you need God more than you need me. And you'll always have God, but you always won't always have me on this earth. So, man, what it would mean to me someday just to get a phone call from you saying, can I talk to you? Might do that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, because we believe we speak, because He first loved us, we speak His Word and walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again to them. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been Disciples View.